Good morning. Good morning. The choir came out early today. They're so anxious to hear my sermon, they came out before 11 o'clock. So we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house. This is the house that He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. Our text today is Genesis 17, verse 15 through chapter 18, verse 15. However, I am going to read Genesis 17, 15 through 21, and 18, 1 through 15. That's Genesis 17, 15 through 21, and then 18, 1 through 15. And I invite you to follow along in your Bibles as I read. God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name shall be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, "If only Ishmael might live under your blessing." Then God said, "Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year." The Lord appeared to Abram near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get 3 seras of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh and say, "Will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. I want to share with you some actual bulletin announcements. These are actual announcements printed in church bulletins. The choir invites any member of the congregation who enjoys singing to join the choir. Due to the pastor's illness, Wednesday healing services will be discontinued until further notice. The eighth graders will be presenting Shakespeare's Hamlet in the church basement on Friday at 7 p.m. The congregation is invited to attend this tragedy. At the evening sermon tonight, the topic will be, "What is hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice." Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. Please use the large double door at the side entrance. And missionary Bertha Belch from Africa was to speak at Calvary Memorial Church. And the announcement in the bulletin read, "Come tonight and hear Bertha Belch all the way from Africa." You know, the definition of laughter is to express certain emotions, especially mirth or delight, by a series of spontaneous and usually unarticulated sounds, often accompanied by corresponding facial and bodily movements. Now, the definition makes me laugh just as much as those bulletin announcements. But often when we think of laughter, we only think of amusement or delight, and yet there are other emotions expressed through laughter in different situations. Nervousness, I'm sure we've all laughed at the inappropriate time because we were nervous. Disbelief, we laugh in disbelief. We laugh in wonder, joy, and amazement. There are many, many situations which prompt laughter as a response. Well, this morning I want us to review three instances in the Bible when people laughed and showed their inner feelings. And the first instance involves Abraham, as you suspected from our text. Now, Abraham, at the age of 75, was told by God to leave his home, to leave his country, to leave his inheritance. And the only knowledge that Abraham had as to his destination was God told him, "I will let you know where you're going." So without any hesitation and demonstrating faith in God, Abraham did as God told him without any hesitation or complaint. One of the numerous promises that God gave to Abraham is that he would become a great nation, that he would father many, many offspring, and their offspring, and their offspring. But yet, even after Abraham and Sarah arrived at the land of Canaan, it was discovered that Sarah was barren. She could not have children. And after being there 14 years, Abraham and Sarah had no child of their own. Now, we all know the story of Hagar and Ishmael, that Abraham fathered a child by the servant girl Hagar, and he was named Ishmael. But Sarah and Abraham had no child of their own. So when Abraham is 99 years old, God speaks to him again. And this time God is more specific. He promises that Abraham and Sarah will have a son of their own. And we read Abraham's response in Genesis 17, 17. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Abraham is in shock. So how does he react? He laughs in amazement at the mere thought that God would do this for him and Sarah. I can't imagine what response I would have if I had a child at age 100. I don't know if it would be amazement and wonder or what it would be. But we learn from Abraham that faith, no matter how strong it is, and I can't imagine the faith that Abraham demonstrated. As I said, he left his home, he left his country, he left his inheritance. He even was going to sacrifice his son Isaac when God asked him to. That's the type of faith that Abraham has. But we learn that faith can always have room to grow. You would think after experiencing all these things, leaving home, all that, that Abraham would not be surprised at anything God said or did. His faith, however, was limited. His being Abraham's. He still had room to go, and he delved deeper into his relationship with God, and he trusted the promise that God made that he and Sarah would become parents. So there's always room for growth in our faith. And the second instance when someone laughed at God that I want us to look at is when Sarah's wife laughed. But we'll see it was in a different context and it was a different response than Abraham's laughter. We said Abraham laughed in amazement and shock that God was going to do this. But God appears to Abraham again at his home, and this time the two other men were with him. Now, biblical scholars, you know, speculate that they may have been two angels or two disciples, but nevertheless, God and two other men came to Abraham. And they all sat and ate with Abraham, and the Lord again promises a child to Abraham and Sarah. And Sarah, who was inside the tent when God said this, overheard what he said. And her response is, "So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, 'After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?'" Sarah's response was completely opposite of that of Abraham. Sarah laughed in disbelief. Her thought process was, "I'm too old to have children. Abraham's too old to have a child." But note carefully God's response to Sarah's behavior. Sarah laughed to herself, we are told, but God heard it. And he questions why she laughed. And Sarah says, and God says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Well, not only did Sarah laugh in God's face in disbelief, she compounded her sin by lying. She said, "I did not laugh, but God knew her heart. And he said, 'Yes, you did laugh.'" How many of us have felt like laughing sometimes at something God did or some message that he sent to us? I know I have. After I died and I felt that the Lord was speaking to me to maybe serve as an interim pastor or as a supply pastor, I kind of laughed. But I'll say I did laugh in amazement, not disbelief, because I knew the things that God could do. I was more like Moses that Sue taught us about. I said, well, wait a minute, God. You know, I can't do this. I've got another job. You know, I've got this responsibility. I've got that responsibility. But I did laugh and chuckle when God was speaking to me. But as we mature in our relationship with God, we should be willing to be challenged. The only way to grow in our life as a Christian is to allow ourselves to be challenged. We must constantly listen to God. We must read His Word and must be willing to accept that challenge. God sometimes does things just to shake our beliefs, just to rattle our beliefs, just to test our faith, and to challenge us to a new task. And we should examine how we respond to that challenge. One of the biggest issues in churches today, I think, including the church here at Ephesus, is we do not like to be challenged. We want to just stay in our comfort zone. We are happy with that. Don't upset the boat. Don't rock the boat. Don't change a thing. Shall we respond like Abraham? Shall we laugh when we're challenged and in wonder and shock? Not disbelief, but amazement that God is going to do this. Or shall we be unwavering in our faith like Abraham? That's why he laughed in amazement and wonder. He didn't disbelieve. He had a faith that's strong, stronger than most of those in his family and in his social circle. But Abraham could not wait to see this miracle happen. He put his trust and faith in God and prepared himself to be amazed. Hebrews 11:11 makes the following statement regarding this situation in which Abraham was placed. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he, meaning Abraham, he considered him, meaning God, faithful who had made the promise. He considered God faithful, the one who had made the promise. In other words, Abraham believed that he and Sarah were going to have a child with God's help. Or shall we respond to God's challenge like Sarah? When she was challenged, she laughed in disbelief. She looked at the circumstances around her and said, "This can't be possible. At my age and Abraham's age, it's not possible." By responding in this manner, she was basically telling God, "You cannot do it." She was limiting God as to what he could do. Sarah sinned in her response to God and then compounded that sin by lying about it. Faith is an action. Think about that. This is not a concept that I thought up. This runs through many of the studies that I've made and many of the teachings of brilliant Baptist scholars. But think about it. Faith is an action. If we say God is faithful in all situations, then we need to live our lives accordingly. And if truth be known, that's how we're supposed to live once we become Christians. Now, we know that God gave His Son to die for our sins. He became the forgiveness that we needed. And God made a promise that if we would confess our sins, then Jesus' death on the cross would forgive those sins, if we accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. And then we would have eternal life. But we can't just stop at having faith in those two promises. God's word is full of promises. And God is faithful, and God will keep those promises, and He will honor them. And our response to God's word is relevant to our relationship with God and relevant to others. How we respond is relevant. Some people think, if I believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior and I accept that gift, then that's all I need to do. That's all the faith I need to have. But we need to be faithful to God in all of His promises and believe in Him and unwaver in that faith as Abraham did. If we do that, then our relationship with others will blossom and will be more a ministry and an evangelistic statement because of our faith in God. The third instance regarding laughter at God is found in Genesis, the 21st chapter, verse 6. And it's a year later. Sarah has given birth to Isaac. And Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. How many of you have been in a room or been at a dinner with a group of people and one got tickled about something that was said and all of you got to laughing and you couldn't stop, and the more you tried to stop, you couldn't? I think about the Mary Tyler Moore show when she went to the funeral of the clown and she got so tickled and couldn't stop laughing. At the inappropriate time. Well, laughter is one of the most contagious actions in the world. Sarah was now laughing with Abraham in wonder and amazement. Obviously, no more disbelief, because here was Isaac, here in her arms, was her own child at the age of 91 years old. Together, Abraham and Sarah would have a tremendous effect on the people around them. Sarah said, everyone will be laughing with us, laughing in amazement at what God has done. And because they have the faith, because Abraham had the faith, Sarah came on board. And the two of them had a tremendous impact on the people in their community. Everyone will laugh with joy and wonder when they see what God has done. That's basically what Sarah was saying. So if you're a Christian, God wants you to take that first step that we talked about, and that is confess your sins and then to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Have faith that by accepting Him, you will have eternal life. All we must do is take that one leap of faith and then build on our relationship, delve deeper into our relationship as Abraham did, laugh in amazement and wonder at the marvelous things that God will do in us and through us. As Christians, we need to be going deeper and deeper in our faith each day. We need to allow God to challenge us through His word, and then we need to put our full faith in God. And then we need to look at how we laugh at God. Are we laughing in disbelief? Are we saying, God, you can't do it? Are we limiting God and what He can do? Or are we laughing in amazement and wonder and saying, Lord, you never fail to amaze me. I knew you could do it, but it's such a thrill to see it done. Sometimes it'll seem like God wants us to accomplish a task which is unattainable. Yet He will always stick to His promises. If He asks you to accomplish a task, you must have faith that He'll help you accomplish it, because He will, regardless of what it is, regardless of what He's requiring. We need to be faithful to God as God is faithful to us. We need to set examples of faith to others. In other words, we need to let others see Jesus in us. We talked about this in a previous sermon about letting our being a Christian affect our life so that it affects others positively. That others can see Jesus in us. They can see we have faith in Him. They don't see us limiting God. They don't see us questioning God in disbelief. They may see us in amazement and wonder at what God has done and what He says He'll do. But they'll see we have faith, and they'll see Jesus in us. So if you would like to be one of those that others look at and admire and see Christ in, we invite you to come and to offer yourself as a child of His, to accept Him as Lord and Savior. If you desire to join this church, we invite you to come and make application in the many ways that we accept members.